Welcome to Creature Wars, the show where zoologists get fighty. And let's meet our guests, Emma Parkin and Jack Bick. Emma, what animal will you be championing today?
Hi, I'm Emma. I am going to be championing the humble honeybee today.
Thank you very much. And you're going to be fighting against Jack. Jack, which creature have you chosen this week?
This week, I'll be championing the magnificent capybara.
Oh dear.
Before we start, let's have a run through the rules. There are three rounds during which each creature must face a scenario and attempt to survive it. Contestants, as your creatures cannot speak for themselves, you must speak for them. If you think your creature is not up to the challenge, you can turn over your wild card and use the creature on that instead. You may only do this once in the competition. When all contestants have made their arguments, a judgment will be made. The judge's rule is final.
Dun-dun-dun.
I want a good, clean fight. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Maybe. We'll see how it goes.
Okay, let's have the first scenario. Scenario number one. Your opponent is looking insanely hench. Make a show of strength and reveal your weapons.
Go on, Capybara. Okay. You go first.
Is my opponent Emma here?
Yeah.
As in, like, I'm faced against a hench bee.
Pretty much.
A massive bee.
Well, the bee does have some weapons.
Yeah, you're facing
me. What does
me.
The capybara have? Apart from a reputation as being a large rodent.
Oh, well, all right. Well, if I'm against a massive bee, I can hold my breath underwater for up to 5 minutes. I'll just get underwater, do a bit of that.
No, it's all about posturing. It's not a fight.
I'll probably pull out my wild card then because I'm a rodent. I'm useless. What am I going to do?
You've got teeth.
I've got teeth, yeah, but is the bee bigger than a normal bee or is it just a particularly muscular...
Just a particularly hench bee.
So like it's the normal size of a bee and its proportions are magnificent.
Yes, basically.
Okay, so I've got teeth, but I'm not going to be able to like bite a bee. I'm going to go for the wild card.
You might regret that.
Plankton. Great, thanks, Emma.
Right.
Well, in your face, because what is a bee going to do against plankton? I'm just going to sit there.
What am I going to do against
you? You're going to try and sting me, and I'm just all wet and green. Good luck. Plankton's not green.
Your strategy as plankton is just basic
just
passivity.
Just take it. Pretty much the same strategy I had as a capybara, to be honest. I'm in the water and I'm just mocking the bee and that's all I've got.
So your response to the bee looking insanely hench is basically...
Passivity, yeah.
I'm mocking. Your weapon is mocking.
Yeah, that's all I've got.
So it's going to be stings are so last season,
there'll be little
darling.
Chattering. There'll be bitchy chattering amongst the plankton that will off-put the bee from attacking it.
Yeah,
be like Mean Girls, but in plankton form.
Yeah, exactly. Very much so. Yeah, that's very much how my plankton models itself.
Okay.
And good luck against some hench plankton. Don't forget, in response, you've got a posture against.
What makes your plankton more hench than normal plankton?
It's muscular.
Is it just the proportion of their bitchiness that makes them more hench?
I think it's their pronounced sense of irony.
Yeah. Yes, to both. Yes, to all.
Right.
Being ironic.
It sort of seems like you don't really have to say much, Emma.
Well, I'm facing plankton. But if I had any general opponent, my show of strength would probably be to fluff myself up, spread my wings wide, buzz quite loudly, turn around and show them my barbed stinger. And then if that didn't work, I'd call all my mates from the hive. And then as a hive, as a eusocial superorganism, we'd all turn up and be like, buzz, what? And it would be great.
All right. Plankton, sorry, you're clearly stuffed.
This is an outrage.
You're going to end up in the burn book. The plankton are going to put you in the burn book, Catherine. It's not going to be good.
Well, that's a risk I'll have to take. All right. And that's the end of that scenario. And on we go to scenario number two. Okay, average global temperatures have increased by 4 degrees Celsius. How will your creature survive? Taking into account loss of land mass, loss of Arctic habitat, acidified, warmer and oxygen depleted oceans, and changes in food source. Jack.
So the temperature's gone up, yeah?
Yes.
Okay, I reckon I'll be all right. The capybara is, like, when it gets a bit hot, it likes to wallow in water. So I think it's just going to hang out in the water more. I mean...
What if the water's evaporated?
Granted, the rainforest is going to be maybe a little bit arid and a bit crispy. But, I mean... To be honest, it depends on the extremity of the global warming, doesn't it? I think if it warms up a bit, I'm fine. If the Amazon is like a cinder, then maybe not so much.
Maybe it'll start to molt, like get rid of its coat a little bit more, do you think? Because they're quite furry.
Yeah, they're quite furry. Apparently they're one of the few rodents that sweats underneath its fur, so it gets like quite greasy.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
That's adorable.
Yeah.
At least it might help with cooling down.
Yeah, I'm also coprophagous, so if like the food source, if there's not so much tasty food around, I'll just eat my own turds for a while. And
is that what coprophagous means?
Yeah, like
for those of us like me who don't know.
Yeah.
That is an amazing word. Can you say that again? It's
coprophagous.
Coprophagous.
Like cop is like the copro is like the
name
name for poo, and then phagus is like the Greek.
So you eat your own crap.
So you're eating your own poo. Yeah, like rabbits are coprophagous.
Okay.
Wow. Loads of rodents are coprophagous, and like they also like chew, like, you know how like cows chew the cud, which is like they sick up a bit into their own mouth and then chew it down a bit to break down the cellulose. They do that as well, so they. Capybaras love it from both ends, basically.
Wonderful.
That's amazing.
So even though it might not necessarily help, if there's no food and no water, because it'll probably be dead anyway, if the temperature increases a bit and the food sources decline a bit, I'll be sweaty and smelly and my breath will stink, but I'll be all right.
I think there'll probably be plenty of water because there'll be reduced land mass. Can they go in the sea?
I think so. Well,
they cool off in.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, I mean, I think they're all right on a day out of the beach. I think they'll absolutely love it, but I don't think. I guess they probably do live in some coastal, like areas, because some of South America is coastal. But I don't know.
Okay. All right. So they sound all right. the honeybee, or are you going to try your wild card?
I might have to, because the honeybee's a bit stuffed.
You're screwed, mate.
If there's climate change, because it's already influenced by climate change, which is what is causing half the problems of a lot of the honeybee species becoming threatened or declining in numbers, which is preventing our crops from being fertilised and ruining all of our farming. And they're quite temperature dependent anyway. Inside the hive, it has to be a certain temperature so that the brood can survive and that they can perform all of their tasks. So I think I'm going to try using my wild card, which has actually been written for me by my opponent. So we'll see if this makes life easier or worse for me.
Okay, wild card.
An axolotl. Okay, I think this actually makes it easier because if global temperatures have risen by like 4 degrees, I'm assuming this is mostly like the average global temperature. And so the sea mediates temperature rises a little bit, so do bodies of water. So it might not go up quite as much in the water. And so I think the axolotl, which is really cute, like kind of juvenile-looking salamander, which is pretty amazing. If you haven't seen one, just Google it, will probably be fine and just swim around quite happily and enjoy its slightly more warmer waters, but not have any problems, really.
Right. It's going to have no problems.
Probably be fine. Sounds like a watertight solution.
I mean, it will have fewer problems. Because if the global temperatures go up by 4 degrees, the sea and water bodies are probably less likely to go up by as much. And so, and it's kind of amphibious, you know, it's amphibious anyway, isn't it? I think it's amphibious.
Yeah.
So
if it's amphibious, it's got a fairly permeable skin.
Yeah.
How do you answer to that?
I don't know.
What do you mean by...
What is the problem you're trying to get out here?
Oceans are going to be significantly more acidified.
They're freshwater.
They're freshwater species.
Oh, they're freshwater.
They live in ponds and lakes and rivers.
Yeah, the axolotl, the name of them is... They're named after the lake that's underneath Mexico City, apparently.
You can tell that Jack picked this for me. He's very knowledgeable about axolotls.
I like axolotls.
They are cute. They're very cute. And they're very interesting because the adult just looks like the juvenile for like its whole life. But there is another adult stage. If you put it in chemicals, you can see... It's a bit like the evolution of Pokemon. Until you use like a stone on it, it doesn't evolve into the next bit of its life cycle, even though it's older. So
yeah, they're just stuck in the larval phase, aren't
they? But then you put them in some chemicals and they perform like a proper salamander. It's so cool. It's really cool.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah. I'm happy with my wild card.
That
choice.
Is real, isn't it?
I've stuffed you,
that is a, that is a, an actual... that's not just like internet bullshit.
No, they've done experiments
on
it.
They do that, yeah.
Anyway, so I think I'll be fine with the axolotl. I think it'll be all right with the global temperatures rising a little bit.
That's awesome. I'm going to pick the axolotl because I really like the sound of it.
Woo!
Okay,
stuff
and that's...
you, Jack.
No.
That's the end of scenario two. Okay, and on to scenario number three. Your animal has been chosen to perform the Royal Variety Show this year.
Woohoo!
What show will you put on, and why is it better than your opponent's show? Who wants to go first?
Okay, the honeybee has definitely got this. So, you know, they're eusocial, which means they've got, they live in a hive, they have different castes, they have like worker bees, they have queens, they've got drones, but they're going to perform this amazing show where there's a lot of buzzing, there's a symphony of buzzing, but also the honeybees have something called the waggle dance. They have a variety of dances which they use to communicate with their fellow workers where food actually is. So the waggle dance is like a figure of eight dance. You could have one doing a waggle dance, you could have one doing like a round dance, which is like a circle. And then they'll be backed up by other bees kind of humming tunefully in the background. And this orchestra, this symphony will really please the queen at the Royal Variety Show.
Which queen?
Whichever queen is on the throne at the time. I mean, ours, well, the honeybee's queen is going to be pretty happy to be honest.
It is quite queen-themed, actually, isn't it? Yeah,
she can kind of come on this, like, beautiful kind of, like, small dress that just, like, and, like, sing at the end, you know.
Queen Bee. You've got Beyoncé on stage.
I could do a Beyoncé cover as well with, you know, the bees could perform a Beyoncé cover with their humming at different notes. That might be quite fun. The orchestration of this would probably be all right, actually, because they're so eusocial and they're so well organised that I reckon the honeybee hive could perform a Beyoncé song and be fine.
Yeah, so... they could organise.
Do you think bees respond well to choreography?
I think so. I mean, like I said, they use dances for foraging anyway. So stick some food all over the places in the studio, and they'll dance according to where you put the food. So it would be great.
Smear the Albert Hall with honey.
Yeah, exactly. Or well, pollen, I suppose. But yeah, no, they'd be really good at it. I think they'd be excellent.
Yeah.
Both queens would be very happy.
Would you do it as a kind of installation, like they've got the hive at Kew Gardens at the moment? The lights.
Yeah, probably. We'll put some lights in there.
What's that?
Yeah. Ah, it's really cool. You can go... Kew Gardens, they've made this massive hive thing, and it's linked to a real hive.
Yeah.
And then you can go inside it, and you can hear the noises.
Oh, that's cool.
The bees. And you can see lights showing where all the different bees in the hive are. So you go inside,
great.
It's like a bit like being in a hive.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to do it like that. That sounds really fun.
It's really good. Yeah. It's worth a... getting on the tube and going down there and having a look at it.
Bring it on, capybara. Let's see
all
what
right.
we got.
So, capybara. Are you going to go with capybara? Do you still have your wild card?
I've got plenty of confidence in my capybara, thanks.
Right, okay.
Two words, synchronised swimming.
So you're going to install a pool on the stage of the Royal Variety Show.
Yeah, we just need a little paddling pool, enough space for them to, you know, like, pop their little toes out of the water in time with one another. Get some swimming caps on them, they'll be adorable.
Right, yeah.
And I would have thought less of a health and safety hazard than a load of bees.
Well, to be honest, I mean, you could just put like a screen up and then it wouldn't be a health and safety hazard.
Sure.
Also, for capybaras in a swimming pool, I mean, you're going to have to position the audience quite high up so that they can actually see the capybaras in the swimming pool.
There is a... Maybe the capybaras are doing it in the orchestra pit, and there's like...
So you turn the orchestra pit of the Royal Albert Hall into
like,
a pool.
And there's like a SeaWorld-style like perspex frontage on it, so you can both see them coming out of the water
below. Is this going to be in time to music? Do you think they can coordinate themselves in time to music?
Better than a beacon.
Can they hear underwater well, or not?
I don't know. I don't know those numbers.
They probably can.
Facts. I'm just going to assert yes.
I want to know,
they're good at it.
Are you going to have a particular colour scheme for the hats?
Yeah. Yes, I am.
Yeah.
What is it?
Yellow, green, red.
Why?
Blue.
Why these colours?
Because they're nice colours. They're bright colours, and bright colours are fun. It's a very simple-minded show. It's not highbrow.
Okay.
You're saying the Queen is simple-minded? Is that what we've got to?
That's.
Yeah, I'll take that. I'm absolutely fine saying that.
Oh, dear.
Do you think that the Queen's going to choose your show if you insult her when you're describing it?
I think that the visual spectacle of synchronised swimming capybaras is going to be worth a little insult. I also think Philip's on his last legs. If he gets stung by a couple of bees, he's gone. He's going down. And Lizzie doesn't want to take that risk.
Do you think?
Capybaras are therefore more safe.
She might actually, you know, she might see that as a positive.
Yeah, you never know. I think
it could be a feature and not a bug.
People that might see it as a positive.
It's got to very depressing very quickly.
Yeah, my show's gone to the demise of
demise of the royal family. Jack's going to take over.
I think that the only health hazard that the capybara poses is I think you can get there's a disease that's spread by the ticks, and it's not Lyme disease. It's something else. So as long as we need to vet them for ticks beforehand,
I mean they'll be in a pool. Good.
Yeah. And how many people are you going to have to employ to comb through these smelly capybaras?
I'll do it gladly. Love them. They're adorable.
I've got this image in my head of you as a, like, old man with all these animals in your...
I will finish combing my capybaras.
Yeah. No, I can't come out this evening, ma'am. yeah, that's exactly the life I want.
Okay, this is a hard one to judge, really, because they both sound absolutely amazing. The main problem I've got with the bees ones, it's going to be really hard to see the bees.
Oh, but it's not about seeing, it's about hearing. Like, it's an aural piece, so if you can't see them, it doesn't really matter.
Okay, so you're going to fit each bee with, like, a little microphone?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay.
I mean, you might not need a microphone. Bees can go pretty loud, to be honest, like it's a hive.
I feel somewhat that the absurdity of the bee proposal kind of invalidates it.
Who doesn't want to listen to Beyoncé performed by bees? I think that's a fantastic, fantastic show.
It's true. I would like to listen to it. I'd also like to see capybaras doing synchronised swimming in the Albert Hall, though. Especially the above and below water aspects of it.
Can you not imagine, like, single bees being performed? Because they're all female anyway, so, like, that would be a really appropriate song.
It is a more the more feminist choice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point. Okay, as a committed feminist,
yes,
I'm going to choose.
No, my capybaras burn their bras before they get in the water. How about that? Yeah, it's a feminist piece as well.
I can't decide. I think it's gonna have to be a draw, because those are two, like, absolutely amazing
coward
scenarios.
Maybe we can put on a joint show somehow. Do you think the capybaras and the bees would get on?
No, I don't see this professional relationship working.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to work. I stand by my choice. It's a draw. They're both ace.
I stand by my opinion of you. You're a coward.
I'm fine with
fuck
it.
Fuck you. Right. Okay. And that was the end of scenario three. So this week's winner on Creature Wars is the honeybee.
Woohoo!
Bullshit.
I'm absolutely buzzing, Jack. I'm buzzing.
Well done. I'm really happy for you.
Thanks.
In opposite land.
I'm happy. My hive is happy. We're all good. Bees represent. Queen bee.
I'll take my capybara off to you. You can have that.
Amazing.
Tell your friends.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.